Good morning. Welcome to worship today as we gather once again here in God's house so we can meditate upon His Word, so that we can be built up and edified by His grace. We are celebrating the fourth Sunday of Pentecost today, looking once again at that blessing that God gives through holy ministry. Last week, we heard about it was His compassion and grace that has called sinners to be His. And today, we see how that grace that called us is now also sending us out to the world. Because there is a world full of people who do not know their Savior, who do not know what He has done, the love that He has outpoured, the life that He gave up in order that they may be saved. And so how will they know if we don't tell them? How will they know if His disciples aren't the ones who take up that rallying cry to proclaim the message of Christ crucified for all? And so today, we look at how we are sent to sinners, so they too may know their Savior. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and to serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. Let us pray. O God, protector of all the faithful, You alone make strong, You alone make holy. Show us Your mercy and forgive our sins day by day. Guide us through our earthly lives that we do not lose the things You have prepared for us in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We turn our attention this fourth Sunday after Pentecost to God's Word, so that we may learn what it is He has us know, that we may go and proclaim it to the world. As we take a look at these readings, we see Jesus' hand. We see God's hand in wanting the rest of this world, the unchurched, the sinful world, the ones who do not know Him, to come to know Him, so they too may be called by His grace. We remember that Jesus was sent to save the whole world, not just a subset, not just a small portion. He was sent as the Savior of all. And now we are also sent as His disciples to proclaim that message of salvation to all people so that the harvest may be brought in and so many more may know that Christ died and rose that they may live. We turn our attention first to our Old Testament lesson from Exodus chapter 19, verses 2 through 8a. We read, "After they set out from Rephidim, and came to the wilderness of Sinai, they camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and to tell the people of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will carefully listen to my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my special treasure out of all the nations, although the entire earth is mine. You will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites." Moses went and summoned the elders of the people, and he set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together, "Everything that the Lord has said, we will do. This is the word of our God." Our second scripture lesson from Romans chapter 5 verses 6 to 11 highlights what Christ has done for all people. We read, "For at the appointed time, while we were still helpless, Christ died for the ungodly. It is rare indeed that someone will die for a righteous person. Perhaps someone might actually go so far as to die for a person who has been good to him. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by His blood, it is even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through Him. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, it is even more certain that, since we have been reconciled, we will be saved by His life. And not only is this so, but we also go on rejoicing confidently in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received this reconciliation. This is the word of our Lord. We speak the verse of the day responsively. Alleluia. May your priest be clothed with righteousness. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Our holy gospel for this morning is also the focus of our sermon text, sermon devotion. It's from Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. We read, "Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were troubled and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into His harvest.' Jesus called His 12 disciples to Him and gave them authority to drive out unclean spirits and heal every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him. Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, 'Do not go among the Gentiles, and do not enter any town of the Samaritans. Go instead to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach this message: the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ." My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, fellow workers in His harvest field, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm assuming most of you have, but have you ever watched the news and seen that they've organized a group of people somewhere in our country to search and find a lost couple or a lost individual? Maybe it's out in the woods, they were on a camping trip and no one's heard from them in days. Maybe they were on that skiing trip and they got lost somewhere in the mountains. And now we have to find them. And they pull out all the stops. They mass as many people as possible, put them in grid patterns to search an area. They have good communication with each other. Probably a bunch of people who actually are familiar with the area, who have been up there before. The vehicles, the aircraft, whatever it takes, because they're going to find those people. You can think back to a time you've seen something like that. They want to make sure they find the lost. Today we have a call to arms. Today our Savior is doing the exact same thing. He is saying we have people who are lost and they need to be found. They are out there wandering around the wilderness of this world without any hope. And someone needs to find them and bring them back home. Bring them back to Me. And we're the search party. We're the ones who have been called by God's grace to work together hand in hand and arm in arm as we search out the lost of this world. It ties in directly to what we talked about last week. If you were here or if you were able to look at the scripture readings, maybe you found it or saw it. As Matthew was called the tax collector last week to be Jesus' disciple, we realize that Jesus was sent for sinners, that He may win us back from sin and hell to be His. And today, those whom Jesus has won for Himself are now sent to sinners, that we may go out and proclaim that message of salvation to the world, that even more may be His. It's our call to arms with Christ Jesus at our head. Our gospel lesson really highlights that. We hear the love of Jesus for the entire world, and particularly for those who are struggling and aren't His yet. We hear it in His voice. We hear it in His actions. Because this is what is recorded. From Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. When He saw the crowds, He was moved with compassion for them because they were troubled and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. His heart goes out to the people He sees, because they're like sheep without a shepherd, it says. They're lost and wandering. They have no leadership. They have no guidance, which is really strange, because that shouldn't be. Where is Jesus? He's going around the towns, the Jewish towns, Galilee and Judah. He's going from synagogue to synagogue. He's preaching in the temples. And yet they still don't know Him. This is to the people who had good spiritual leadership. What about the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the priests, the rabbis? What about all these people who knew what God had said throughout the Old Testament? They should have been good spiritual leadership. They should have been saying, look to the Messiah. The Christ is coming. And yet, when Jesus looks at these people, He says they're lost. They've got no one. They're not being led in the right direction. They're not being told the right things. They're not looking for the Messiah, at least not the Messiah as God has said He would come. And they're downtrodden. Their hearts are broken because they have absolutely no hope. What do they have to look forward to? Every time I read that, it makes me think not only to how that is so true still for us today, but how it was true when Martin Luther came about. Now, we're Lutherans, we take his name for a reason. But we have to understand that the real reason why Luther started the Reformation was because he saw so many people who were suffering and hurt. He realized it himself because he had been there too. When he was racked with such guilt, he could find no peace. And as he became a priest and he looked out and he saw the people of his congregation and he saw that they had no peace. They had no hope. They had no joy. Because what did they have to look forward to? Nothing. The message of Jesus as Savior had been robbed from them. And he cries out, this should not be so. We live in a world today, too, that has lost good spiritual leadership. A world with so many religious philosophies and so many ideas, and even in the Christian church itself, people who focus not on Christ, but on something else. And in the end, these people who are following this spiritual leadership have no hope. They have no Savior. Because Christ is not proclaimed. Full and free forgiveness is not preached. And their attention gets drawn other places. And I can't help but say Jesus looks at this world still today and says His heart hurts because He sees people who are like sheep without a shepherd. And are lost in sin. It doesn't take much for us to look out into this world and to realize that is true. It does not take much as we look out right now. Turn the news on tonight. You'll see we live in a world that has lost its way. It doesn't take long to find someone you can have a conversation with that says Christianity is nothing but a big fairy tale and everybody who puts their hope in it is nothing but a disillusioned fool. I don't need no Savior. That's what they want. They want to be in their ignorance. They want to be lost in their sin because they don't realize just how lost they are. And Jesus' heart hurts because they should be His. And so He does something about it. As He looks out at all these people who need to know Him, who need to be brought back into His fold, He tells His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into His harvest." That's Jesus' prayer. He tells His disciples, look at all of this work that needs to be done. Your prayer needs to be that the Lord of the harvest, that God Himself, would send workers out to do the work. Because it's way too much work for one person to do. It's way too much work for just a few people to do. You've all experienced that, right? When you have a large amount of work that needs to be done. When you see a big daunting task, doing it on your own would be absolutely impossible. A couple of weeks ago, we had a cleanup night for Christ St. John's here. Some of you were there. I'm not faulting anybody who wasn't. Not at all. But I want you to realize that there were people here, and the amount of work that got done couldn't have been done by one person. There's no way. Too much work to be done. But many hands make light work. And you gather around a group of people who are all determined to make sure it is accomplished and it's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Because you've been there before. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful. There is a whole lot of work to be done. But we need all hands on deck and all people on board, or it's never going to get accomplished. So pray, he says, that the Lord would send more workers. More people who know Him. More people who are dedicated to the cause. So that the work may be done to its fullest. But to back up his words, the very next thing that Matthew records is who Jesus sends out into that harvest field. You see, Jesus isn't one who just has big speeches and then never acts on it. Because Jesus was already putting into practice what He was saying. It's no accident that Matthew, right after those words of Jesus, records a list of the 12 apostles. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, the rest of them, the whole group. He lists them all off. Why? Because this is who God first called into that harvest field. These are the workers. These are the ones who will do it. And it's like that pebble in a pond. You know what I'm talking about? You throw the pebble in the pond and it ripples out. The circle starts really small. That's the apostles. But as it expands, as it grows, as they begin to talk, it gets bigger and bigger. That's why Jesus told them, when you go out, don't go to every town of the Gentiles. There's not time for that. You're a small group. Go to the Jewish towns. Go into the synagogues and preach and teach. Why? Well, they already knew a Messiah was coming. They already knew what God's Word was. They already knew what God's law was. The Jews were just a little lost. They needed to be pointed to the right shepherd because they weren't following the right person. That's a whole lot less work than it is to start from scratch. Start with them. Why? Because as you do that, your ranks grow. The ripple expands, the circle gets bigger, and more people can be affected and touched by that gospel because you have more and more workers in the field. So He gives them the power to do their work. Matthew continues here and says that as you go preach this message, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons. Why? Because freely you have been given, so freely give. This is His message. This is what the disciples do. They go and they take care of people's needs so they have no more excuses. They heal their sicknesses and diseases. They drive out demons. They even raise the dead. They take care of these big problems so that people now can focus on the task at hand. We did that for you too, you know. I'm not saying that you don't have any problems. Everybody has problems. We all do. Some are greater than others. Some are physical. Some are emotional. Whether it's your own health, it's your own finances, whether it's depression and anxiety, whether it's a whole host of other complications. We have a reason to say our life is bad. I don't care who you are. You can find a reason if you try hard enough. So Jesus takes care of our one great need. I'm not talking our physical or emotional problems. I'm talking about our spiritual one. The very fact that Jesus died on that cross and rose again to take away our only true problem, the problem of sin. And now that that is done, what is holding us back? What is bringing us down? We are forgiven in Jesus' name, and nothing can take away the promise of heaven. We have true peace and true joy because we are forgiven. And so now we are sent. Nothing holds us back. Nothing could or should hold us back. We have been called to work in the harvest field because many hands make light work. And there's a lot of work to be done. And if we don't get up and get at it, if we as those followers of Jesus don't take seriously our responsibility to proclaim the message to those who do not know Him, there are entire portions of the harvest field that are never going to be harvested and will wither and die. That's a terrible thought, isn't it? That people will die not knowing their Savior? That doesn't mean all of our efforts will work. Some will still reject. Some will want nothing to do with their Savior. But that doesn't mean we don't do everything in our power to proclaim the message of Christ. And the Holy Spirit will work through your effort. Guaranteed. That's His promise. But maybe you don't really want to do it. I don't blame you. It's not easy work. I don't want to be the one who has that confrontation with someone. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. They're not going to like me anymore. Is it really worth their eternal salvation for you to be a little uncomfortable? Is it really worth knowing that someone may have to spend an eternity in hell because they never found out about their Savior? And I had the opportunity to be the one to proclaim it? To think someone else will do it for me? Well, that means all we're doing is refusing to step into the fields. And that's where we have been called. And we do it not because of fear, not because of guilt. We do it because we have been saved in Christ, and why would we not want to? If we have this joy, if we have this peace of forgiveness, isn't that infectious? Don't we want to spread that to the rest of the world? We want them to know their Savior. That's what we want them to have, and we don't keep that to ourselves. Send workers into my harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. It's always amazing, it's always uplifting for me, when you look at the news and know that those manhunts have happened, that those groups have come together to search for those who are lost, and that joyous moment when they find them. And I can only imagine that if you're part of that group that goes out and finds someone, the joy you must have in saying, I had a hand in finding the lost. I had a hand in saving their life and bringing them back to their family. How amazing that is. You have that opportunity now. Not to save someone's physical life, to save someone's spiritual life. To have a hand in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ so that the Holy Spirit can work in their heart and that salvation Christ won on the cross will be theirs. There's a lot of work to be done. The harvest is ready. Let's get to work. Amen. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen. We have the opportunity now to join together in confessing our Christian faith. Today we do so with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come now before the Lord in prayer. We use the prayer of the church that is printed for you in your worship bulletin and is also located on the screens. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank You for all that You give us day after day.
We are not worthy of all the mercies You show us.
You have given us Your precious Word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Heavenly Father, we pray that You shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick. Heal those who are sad. Calm those who are distressed. And comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy Your peace, Your gift of peace, security, and well-being. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring You our private petitions. We bring these requests before You in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask You to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to Your glory. We join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on Your faithful people. Keep us strong in Your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us Your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace, live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. I thank you all for joining us in worship today, whether you're joining us here publicly or joining us online. We thank you for sharing with us this ministry and being edified by God's Word with us today. We just have a couple of announcements. Continue to look for announcements as we go forward, as we are still trying to get a handle of everything that is happening here in our county and here in our country. Our plan still is to continue to have in-person worship. Some of our other congregations in the area have ceased having those in-person worships again because the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 has increased. We still plan on having public worship here, but we may be taking extra precautions, either it is on our end as pastors or for others, for a couple reasons. One, because we want to be overly cautious. We want to make sure that we do what is necessary, do more than enough than less than enough. And also, though, because we are concerned about our community and the work we want to do there, and know that if something, God forbid, were to happen here, we very easily could be blacklisted by the county. And it could be something where they say, you didn't take the right precautions. We don't want that to happen. We want to take the right precautions so we can continue to faithfully serve God's people, both here and in our community. We have our VBS still coming up. We could really use more volunteers. I haven't heard from many people who say I would be willing to help. If you are interested, please talk to me as soon as possible so we can set all of that up. God's richest blessings be with you until we see each other again.